Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly Stewart Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
My mother is a, like, don't drink, don't cuss, don't smoke kind of woman. You can dance, though, but none of the other things. No, riddle me this. We could not watch South Park, but we could watch something that had, like, violence in it.
Oh, yeah.
Or I didn't know what the word... put your earmuffs on. God damn it. I'd never heard that before, but then Will Smith said it in Independence Day.
Oh.
And my mom said, where did you hear that? And I said, Will Smith said it on Independence Day. What does it mean?
Oh.
I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
And my mom still, you know, she was a spanker.
Welcome to Holy Ghosting, a podcast about life after religion. I'm Meg.
I'm Sarai.
And today we are so excited to welcome Kevin Garcia, a mystical theologian and practitioner, helping folks deconstruct from Christianity, evangelicalism, and all high control religions. Welcome to the show, Kevin. We're so glad you're back.
Bow, 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 bow.
Hi, everyone.
Wild.
Yeah. Thank you for having me in your space once again.
Yes, we love having you here. Welcome back, Ghosties. Kevin, if you do not follow him, please go do that right now. Just pause.
Do it.
He is at the Kevin Garcia online. Go on his TikTok, y'all, because
I'm very funny
sometimes. There's just some really good vibes happening there, like constantly. Kevin, what else are you working on?
Oh, God. Aside from, like, you know, trying to find gainful employment like every other human on the planet, I have two books out. Bad Theology Kills is the first one. The second one is called What Makes You Bloom. It's been out for about almost a year now and best things I've ever written. And I'm currently, you know, working on a book proposal that I'm tentatively titling High Flop.
Tell me everything.
Unlearning Success and Failure from a post-capitalist, like more feminist like lens, very queered lens of just like community and success and like the markers that we had set up for us by society. And then we didn't hit them for one reason or another because they're all fucking fake.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and to keep it up, you have to like keep killing yourself over and over again to just barely make it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think this past year has really challenged me in who do I think I am? Like, really, not even like trying to like be snooty about it, but like, what does it mean when you're not successful in the ways that you need to, like, you need to be successful? Like, I've had to ask for so much help, you know, and I felt like a fucking failure.
Oh,
and it's like, am I a failure because I've got friends who are willing to help me right now?
No.
Am I a failure because my mother, who her name is also on the loan in this house, so it behooves her to like help me out with the payments. But also she owns 6 properties.
She's
so it's
good.
Like
she's fine.
Yeah. And she's willing to help. So am I a failure because I have a mom who wants to help me sometimes?
No.
I'd say no.
It sounds like you live in a beautiful community that supports you and loves you.
Yeah.
And when we uncouple our identity from what the capitalism says, I'm just like, it's really wonderful. You can, you know, it's like, once again, I'm finding myself, even though like things are very fucking hard, I'm also finding myself quite happy. Because like I'm not basing everything off of whether or not, you know, the important bills are paid. Okay.
Yeah.
Utilities are paid. Gas in the car, food in the fridge, girl. And sometimes that's, you know what that's called? It's called daily bread.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Don't let me start.
I hear it. I feel it. I'm right there with you. It is a time.
Yeah.
And it's humbling in a good way. Humiliating is the way I like to say it, just because it is humility, not like fake humbleness. Like it's just something really powerful about being able to accept help and to, as you were saying, uncouple not even just our like sense of identity, but our self-worth, like our very fundamental self-worth from what we do and how much we get paid and whether we have more than gas and groceries available to us at any given moment.
Tell you what, like my friends have been really cool to me, just like, you know, because we like to go out dancing and whatnot, and like going out, that's expensive stuff. And so I'm like, and they're going and they're saying, hey, I got you, I'll take care of you. Like I went out to Pride this weekend, all my friends took care of me.
That's the best. That's
and beautiful. Somehow I ended up in the VIP section and they gave me drink tickets.
That rules.
Of course they did.
I'm like, that's on community care, baby.
I love that. That's good. That is a beautiful thing. And it's like, it's nice because it's not even just for the basics, like, okay, I'll make sure that you don't just fall off the planet, but also just the enjoyment, the camaraderie and the,
you around.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's really
I'm very lucky. Very, very thankful.
Love that. I love you're in a very happy place.
Yeah.
All we can do is, you know, remind ourselves of those moments and settle into them when we get them, because, oh, gosh, it is rough.
It can be.
But today we're going to break.
Let's have a lull.
Bullshit. Okay.
Yes,
let's have an LOL moment, y'all.
Let's go do some 90s nostalgia. Today we are going to talk about things we're told where it's evil. Kevin is going to join us on this episode where we're going to talk about kind of that middle school 90s era. So take yourself back.
Rewind in time. Let the world spin backwards.
Finding that independence, right, from your family. Except for me, there was still a lot of control. A lot of control. Yeah. How about for you?
I too also was quite controlled. Yes, I'll concur. Yeah, Kevin.
They tried to control me. They really did. But I, when I was in middle school, the pop punk revolution was happening, aka Good Charlotte, Avril Lavigne, Panic at the Disco. And there were also like the Christian reactionary bands like Showbread, who were like, you know, wearing nail polish and skinny jeans and like looking really gay. But I was like, Mom, they're Christian. So like I was like a goth kid through and through. And my family, who was like the good church family, I was still a super Christian. I was just goth.
Oh yeah.
And people don't like goth Christians. They really like had it out for us.
Yeah.
And I'm just over here saying like Jesus was emo. Okay.
100%. Jesus was totally emo. He wept. That's like the best Bible verse to remember.
Yeah. And and also just like, what did he weep for? All the bullshit of the world.
All the bullshit, man. Yep. Yep. That's a beautiful thing.
But yeah, I that was the only way I got away with anything. That was the like one thing I got, but I wasn't allowed to like watch certain things. I wasn't allowed to go places. I didn't have a cell phone until I was like 17.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I did get a pager from my mom for Christmas one year.
No, you didn't.
Listen, awesome. Though.
she had just gotten divorced. She was a single mom, full-time working. She had two like teenagers. And she said, you always carry a quarter. It was 20 cents, kids, if you didn't know. It was 20 cents back at the day that I'm talking about to make a phone call.
Two dimes.
So she always told us, it's your responsibility to carry the money, but you must call me within 5 minutes of me paging you. No matter where you are, what you're doing, where you're at, she would page us randomly. And then we would like run to a payphone or be like, can I borrow your mom's phone? And we would call and check in. And it was just a way that she could like be in contact with us, but like also give us a little bit of freedom. But you paid by like
a longer leash though, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You paid though by the second, like the each character you paid for. So it was not cheap. And like I said, single mom working a lot. She kept it. Like we weren't allowed to use it with our friends. It was just for communication between family.
Wow. That is so.
So maybe I wasn't as lucky as you thought.
Actually, here we are thinking, really,
like, wow, Meg
stressful.
Was cool. Meg was a cool kid, and like,
look,
you know,
it was cool though. It was the see-through purple pager, so I do think I did right there.
I really know exactly what you're talking about. And also, what a very specific moment in time you're talking about. Like, one, a time where there's payphones everywhere and you can just find one within 5 minutes, which imagine.
Yeah, it's like walking in any direction, you could probably find payphone. That's interesting.
You would. Easy. Yes. And then you've got your quarter, you're good to go. And there is no such thing now. And then the pager is such a fun little.
Well, it's such a weird time where, like, it moved from business into like regular people using it. And it was a very small window. So if you were a pager kid.
Yep. In like 1996, that was when.
You were the one. You really were the one.
But other than that, I feel like I didn't even have a parent who like mandated what we could and couldn't watch at that point. I think at that age though, I was just so indoctrinated that it was like,
you just knew what not to do.
I had that spirit in me. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, you didn't want to let the devil get a foothold by watching the wrong thing. Like, what if you sat down and watched Gummy Bears and like learned about potions and suddenly you're a witch? That's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
It truly is.
God, Gummy Bears. Like that was something that like a lot of, my mom wasn't like very strict. It was mostly like the Beavis and Buttheads, the thing that I think were like marketed towards older teens. Mm-hmm. And but like all of my middle school friends were watching it because it really wasn't like King of the Hill. Couldn't watch King of the Hill.
Yes. Oh, that's devastating. My family watched it together. See, this is the weird place where I come in with like my family. We were just not allowed to watch things my parents didn't think were funny. That's I think that's actually where the rule, the morality rule came in.
Yeah.
Y'all thought I was cool, but really it's Sarai because she just watched everything. She's just – every time I do this question with her, she's like, well, no, I could watch that and I could – but let's get into it. Okay. First question, what were you not allowed to watch? You said Beavis and Butthead.
Mm-hmm.
I see what genre we're in now.
Yeah, because I was always a cartoon kid. But funny enough, like I was able to watch Powerpuff Girls, Sailor Moon. My dad, though, like definitely walked in the living room one day. It's like Toonami. I'm watching Sailor Moon after school. And of course, like I am mesmerized because here is a diva like spinning around, getting into like a cute outfit and saying, you know, moon prism magic makeup. And her whole power was makeup. And I'm like, that's cunty. And my dad said... Now, my dad is like, he, you know, God rest his soul. He was a Mexican military man with a big old mustache. Yikes. And he's like, son, is this what you want to be watching? I'm like, yeah, I think this is cool. And I could tell that like looking back on that moment, he was really trying to be okay with his son and just like the clear faggotry that was coming out of him.
Yes. Did he ever get to see you in drag?
No, he died like what year are we in now? 2024. He died 2019, so like 6 years ago. And I didn't do drag until after lockdown was over. And
we saw a lot of queens come out after lockdown.
Yeah.
Oh, we all, because like we were all at home just practicing, and that was another thing.
Absolutely.
Can't watch anything, you know, if we're departing from cartoons and like age appropriate things. in our house, certainly Will and Grace, not a thing.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
We didn't just watch brought that one up either. The other day.
Yeah,
Will and Grace. I mean, it was the idea of queerness, right? Because there wasn't a lot of makeout sessions happening. Like, we didn't see sex on Will and Grace. It was just the fact
that... It was all implied, really.
Yes, yes.
The banter.
And that was scary.
Yeah. Heaven forbid you have an independent woman and a flamboyant male, you know, be best friends and not be married.
Or sexually active together.
Yeah. Mm. Wow. That's scandalous.
That's right. Was there anything that you weren't allowed to watch? Or were you just like free as a bird?
Plenty of things that I wasn't allowed to watch. I think, I mean, it's hard. There's genres that we didn't really watch. Like, we were never like a horror film family or something. But like, as far as comedy went, it was, we were pretty allowed to watch a lot of things, but with usually with like supervision, or we would just watch the same things over and over. So like, we, you know, one of my favorite movies is Big, and there's the part where 12-year-old Josh Baskin's in the body of whatever age Tom Hanks was at the time of this, touches
fine
Elizabeth
as hell, Tom
Perkins in broad boob. And my mom would always stand in front of the TV with like a throw pillow and fast forward that part. And like,
oh, my mom would do the same thing if there's ever like a thing where just like, cover your eyes.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, why is it okay for, it was like sex or things that were just too. Can I tell you a funny, a weird story about like editing what your kids watch? This is a secondhand story. My friend John, growing up, his parents were both like basically like basically MKs, but like a different breed of something. I don't know. Long story short.
I don't know what that is. I'm going to pause.
Oh, sorry.
Like,
missionary kid.
Oh, missionary kid. Okay. I'm like, what's
so
an M?
Ubiquitous.
Okay,
it has
an
acronym.
You.
My goodness.
Yeah. I apologize for all of us who have the jargon. MK equals missionary kid. But Star Wars Episode One, the scene where Qui-Gon Jinn is talking to Anakin's mother, and she says, "Oh, there wasn't a father. I conceived, I gave birth, and he's healthy, and that's all I know about it." And because it was a virgin birth, my friend's mom went in on the like the VHS tape, found the scene, cut it out,
no way,
and then taped it back together. So there's just one. There's a part in the when you put the movie and it went and just cut to a movie. Let's cut it out.
That's like, so much work.
What? Because that was like blasphemous to Jesus.
Apparently, it's just like this is
I
too close.
Would, to I thought you were going to say the opposite. Honestly, I thought you were going to say because there was a Jesus-like character in this completely made up. Mm-hmm. Unrealistic universe.
Well, that's blasphemy.
That even they had a savior.
Yeah, well, the thing about that is like
Darth Vader.
He becomes Darth Vader. However, comma, he still brings balance to the Force when he kills the Emperor at the end of episode 6.
You're right.
And so I'm technically like, he did fulfill the prophecy.
He did.
But he was a flawed. He wasn't a perfect Messiah. Therefore, can't have a virgin birth.
Yeah, wow. You don't deserve that unless you're the perfect Messiah who died for our sins
yeah.
on the cross as a sacrifice for us being disgusting wretches.
Yeah, and you don't deserve an imperfect savior who, you know, was kind of a badass in some ways and was like more talented than everybody else, but just got a little, fell in love and then disillusioned with power.
Yeah.
Can't have that as a savior.
No.
No.
Die to self always. We know that.
Die to self or we're going to throw you into space.
That's right. Were you allowed to watch Beavis and Butthead?
Oh,
that's
I wouldn't
a no
say
on
I was
Kevin's.
Allowed to watch it, but it was something I did watch a lot. Like, we didn't
sneaked.
Have cable, though, when I was
it
a
was
kid.
In your
I,
sneak
it was
category.
A sneaking thing. It was with my best friend in high school, and I'd hang out at her house, and we'd watch MTV all the time and Beavis and Butthead. We went to the movie theater to see Beavis and Butthead do America.
Wow.
And I remember like some really random scene in Beavis and Butthead was the funniest thing I had ever seen in my whole life as a kid, where they had like, this is gross. Sorry. Content warning.
It's Beavis and Butthead.
A dead squirrel. Yeah. And we're talking about Beavis and Butthead. And they were like kicking and throwing this dead squirrel like it was in a sport.
And I don't remember anything else but that I was laughing my whole ass off for like the longest time during this scene. And it was, I think it gave me a lot of joy. Like, I think it kind of carried me through the rest of high school to enjoy that one little Beavis and Butthead moment.
That's I mean, just the That's title beautiful. Of that movie, Do America, was just a no for me.
Oh, I just loved it. But, you know, by then I had a driver's license and my best friend Amy had a driver's license and we could go to the movies. We also went, sidebar, not about Beavis and Butthead. We also went to see a movie, Tales from the Crypt movie called Bordello of Blood. And we didn't know what a bordello was. It turns out there's a lot of naked boobs in that movie. And we were the only people in this movie theater. It was at the $1.50 theater we used to have.
Yes. And who shout out for the 90s if you know what a dollar movie theater is.
Yes. I know. It's so good. So it was like the second RAND movies. Yeah. We went to see it there and we both were like, well, maybe we should leave. But there was no one else there. And I think we were like, well, let's stay. And we watched this whole movie. It turns out, like, I'm queer. I didn't know that until later, but I didn't want to leave.
Just like, I don't know.
It's just boobs. Yeah, it's just hot boobs. It was very, very horny for me. I do remember of it. And I was shockingly less uncomfortable with it than I would think in retrospect. But, you know. The heart That's wants it. What it wants. And I was into a bunch of vampire bordello ladies.
Hell, vampire bordello ladies. That's so...
I mean, that sounds hot.
I'm just like, I'm turned on. And I'm...
You're like, boobs? Who cares? Yeah,
I hot bordello, though.
And no, with blood on them? This is something I've like noticed as I've gotten older, though. I used to think I was just like very strictly gay. But then as I've gotten older, like my genres have widened.
Oh, lovely.
Exponentially. So it's like... trans women, queer, it's like trans women, queer women, but if you are a cishet woman, you ain't got nothing for me.
Sure.
You know,
that makes
with the exception
sense.
Of J-Lo and the movie Hustlers, there was something that hit me hard and I was like, wow, this is very sexy.
Sometimes J-Lo just really gets there and you know,
and then
God
other times she's
still doing it.
Yeah, and then other times she makes the worst movie ever and then a documentary about the worst movie ever.
True. And then gets divorced from her longtime Will They Won't They R.I.P. No. Bennifer. Again.
Yeah. Laura, we just want to lift up Bennifer right now.
Just put a hedge of protection around them.
Yeah.
And their sacred marriage.
All right, if Beavis and Butthead was a no, I'm going to go and ask about South Park.
Oh, absolutely not.
No, that was a big no.
Big fucking no. Especially because they made fun of Jesus at some point.
Oh, yes. They also made fun of the Book of Mormon. I mean, equal opportunity.
They made fun of all different Christians, but like Mormons weren't real Christians in my family. Neither were Catholics. Yeah,
no. They were a cult.
Yeah, same.
For sure.
Same.
Until Mitt Romney ran for president, and then Mormons were totally just like every other Christian for that period of time, and then it went back.
He almost got you.
Yeah, like 2012 was a big year for the Mormons.
He almost made Mormonism cool again, but you know,
very
couldn't
close.
Quite swing it.
Couldn't quite.
I think Obama. The mom-taught ladies are on the next round of that. They're really out there trying to make Mormon moms cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes.
Well, they're super feminist.
super. But yeah, South Park was a no for me in my house. It was also, I think, because like foul language, they had a lot of foul language in that show. And my mother is a like, don't drink, don't cuss, don't smoke kind of woman. You can dance though, but none of the other things. So like, it was really important. Now riddle me this though, is like, we could not watch South Park, but then like we could watch something that had like violence in it or, you know, just like, I didn't know what the word, put your earmuffs on. God damn it. I'd never heard that before. But then Will Smith said it in Independence Day. Oh. And my mom said, where did you hear that? And I said, Will Smith said it in Independence Day. What does it mean?
Oh.
I don't know what it means. Yeah. And my mom still, you know, she was a spanker. She's worked on it since then. Oh, and I didn't know what I had done wrong.
Yeah.
But it was just like, I couldn't watch the show over here because it was cussing. But like, if I watched it with my family, it was okay. But I still didn't get really clear boundaries as to like what... They didn't say me why, it's just don't do it, rather than saying there's an appropriate time and place for everything.
Yeah.
Well, not because
there wasn't.
I think a lot of our parents might have followed the similar thing with Sarai's parents, but maybe we just didn't know that if they didn't want to watch that movie, they weren't going to. But if they wanted to watch it and it was like PG-13 and it was like, you know, they made it like they were being so amazing by letting me watch with them, or like how generous.
Such a blessed. Right? You don't even know how blessed you are.
But don't you dare repeat any of the bad words. Mm-hmm. And none of the attitudes. If any child is ever rude to an adult, do not follow them.
Because of this reason, so many of my friends were not allowed to watch Rugrats because Angelica mm-hmm. was rude to her mom.
Oh, mm-hmm. interesting. I watched it.
I just didn't want. Yeah, I didn't watch Rugrats.
But not, I didn't like Rugrats very much, mostly because the characters were hideous. And same with like,
it was
I didn't like watching it. I was just like, this is aesthetically gross to me.
It was like, that baby's head looks like a pile of shit.
And it was horrible. Yes, it did.
That's what kept me away from South Park, was just so many like gross things in it that I was like very uninterested.
Annoyed me. I was just not, I didn't want to watch South Park. But by the time it was a thing, I think I was already like an adult probably. Mm. So technically I could have watched it.
By the time I got around to like watching an episode of South Park, I realized like, oh, this was specifically written for stoners.
Oh, yes. Which like, you think I watched Beavis and Butthead too, but.
Oh, definitely.
I was just high on life, so I thought it was funny.
Listen, and Jesus.
And Jesus.
yep. Jesus was. Did any of you have a Jesus is my drug t-shirt? Anyone?
No.
Just me?
No. Cool. Drugs but were always
now I
bad.
I want to find it.
Even I do Jesus love that you have drug. That. What a goth
kid. I had so much witness wear. Oh, so much fantastic. Stupid Christian witness
wear.
That's what we called it.
I didn't even consider that because I only, you know, would get things on a t-shirt if they were Christian. Hmm. But it was just because I was so embedded.
I was so embedded that I was also part of like the pro-life gothic crew.
Oh, yes. Did you have like abortion is mean pins and shit?
No, abortion is murder.
I had even more
in
dramatic.
A big on a hoodie yeah. and my parents let me wear it in public.
Oh, sure.
And like one of my,
they were stoked. I bet.
Yeah.
Oh my
so
god.
Proud of Kevin. He's turning out to be such a nice young man.
Standing up for life. Standing yes. up for life.
Yep.
Yes.
But like, oh my god.
I was recently clearing out my attic, and I sent a picture on our thread of two pretty intense stickers. They're black with big white print. One says abortion is mean, and the other says abortion is murder. And
got it from the same company, I bet.
Twinsies. You know?
Got it at Ichthus.
Yes. Yes. So we shopped in the same market.
Mm-hmm. This Woof. Is my favorite sticker that Lindsay gave me. It says Paul was a dick.
Yo.
But I'd wear a shirt that says that. That's Listen. The main shirt I would like to have now. I didn't wear a lot of witness wear because it was sold at the Christian bookstore and they didn't have sales like they did at like Deb or JCPenney.
Yes.
You know, like that's mm-hmm. that was my affordability range.
You love a 2-for-1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My parents, yeah, like we didn't do thrift shops, but it was always just like the 75% off at Dillard's once a season.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that's
Dillard's.
When you do it.
That was a
They're
fancy
like,
place.
Time to get a winter coat. It's almost summer.
Exactly.
Like, it's next year, honey.
As soon as Christmas is over, as soon as the season's over, I'm just like, oh, we got to get stocking stuffers for the entire family for the next 14 years.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
You
my
know,
mom
it,
had
it
a
is
whole
a bummer
stash
when you run out
closet.
Of stocking stuffers, though.
Yeah.
As a person who primarily fills stockings for my family. Gosh,
oh,
you know, when you're just trying to get as much fruit and batteries as you can to
fruit.
Like fill the bottom.
Proverbs 31 right here, baby.
That's her. She is just crushing it. She is always weaving cloth of purple and selling it.
In the market.
Stuff like that. In the market. That's what she does.
Yeah.
In she
the
can
shape
laugh at the future.
Pager.
Yes. She's the wife worthy of a king. So good job.
Sickening.
Right. You know the Lemuel. the inevitable next question is going to be about just one of the all-time shows. This is a show that I think had a lot of contention in Christian homes. So I want to hear what both of you, where did this land in the categories of did you sneak watch it? Were you allowed to watch it or were you not allowed to watch it? We're going to start with Kevin, The Simpsons.
I was not allowed to watch The Simpsons at all. And I think because I just you know, didn't watch it. It wasn't like the thing, but like all of my friends did. And I just like, I was such a, I got baptized at age 9. So like, I'm very goody two shoes. I'm very like, well, I gotta listen, you know, God's watching.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
You know? So I, heaven forbid, like if Heartstopper came out when I was in middle school, it would have been over. It would have been over. But no, I got stuck with Rugrats.
Yep.
I got stuck with
those hideous.
But yeah, didn't watch Simpsons. Didn't sneak watch it. Although I
did you watch it at Friends ever? Yeah, like
that's actually like popping almost like I think at my friend Sean's house. My mom had a best friend. My mom's name is Deborah. Best friend named Debbie. So
love it.
And Sean was like, "Yeah, let's you know you want to watch The Simpsons?" And I'm just like, "Mom says I can't watch that." It's like, "If your mom's not here," and I was like, "Okay," and I.
You're like, I don't have an argument for this.
Couldn't tell you what the episode was about.
Sean sounds like a great influence. Yeah.
Yeah. His mom smoked cigarettes, though, and was divorced in the 90s. So, like,
was your mom missionary friending?
Couldn't say. But we did we did end up with both of them at Vacation Bible School that summer.
Mm-hmm. Good score.
That's awesome.
So, either way, I watched Simpsons. I probably watched it at his house. Couldn't tell you what the episode was. But,
One of the early ones, probably.
Yeah, and I felt bad the whole time, for sure.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue one last year.
I know, by a wide margin, too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue one last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.
Sad.
Did you ever confess it to your mom that you had watched it?
No. I did confess other stupid things later in life that, like, I totally got off scot-free, but my conscience wouldn't let me. So, like, I was like, Mom, I drank alcohol at the party and I had a sip of beer one time. That was it.
Oh, yeah.
You're such a sweetheart.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of kid I was. I was literally like kind of golden child in so many ways.
Yeah, we would have been besties. We would have just been like praying for everyone at the party, you know, in the corner.
For sure.
And then being in full repentance all night for that sip of beer we tried.
Sackcloth, no, ashes.
Did y'all get to watch The Simpsons?
Meg?
Well, I was a big fat no honestly, my life changed after my parents got divorced in very meaningful ways. Like, we had a much quieter, peaceful, loving home when my dad didn't live there. It was amazing. I loved it. And, you know, but then we also kind of – my mom was working so much because she just was the only person providing anything for two kids. And my brother and I got to be home a lot. Like, I remember those summers of just debauchery. I mean, true debauchery.
Simpsons we watched on the TV.
The Simpsons.
Drinking pop.
We did not drink pop, okay? That was not allowed, obviously. I didn't even have sparkling water until I was a full-grown ass adult.
Your mom's like, bubbles in water is evil. We don't do that.
Whoa. Is this a true story?
No, not the bubble part. No, sir, I just made that up.
Bubbles are full of Satan's tears. It's just, you can't do it.
They're putting gay in it.
No, but I wasn't allowed. I wasn't allowed. Oh, that's what got me gay.
the LaCroix.
I started to
can't have that LaCroix.
It makes sense.
That's a problem.
Yeah, it dilutes the estrogen and makes and increases testosterone.
Mm-hmm. Ghosties, I'm just so glad we could bring you so much science in this episode.
Yeah, I have a degree in music education, so I know. And I got a C in my biology class, so I can give you like a 75% good answer.
That's great.
I like it.
It counts. That's all we need here.
My brother
I have a degree in general ministry. So, oh, he did?
My brother loved Beavis and Butthead. He was a big fan. I think it really resonated. It's potentially the time when maybe he started smoking weed. So maybe that makes
a lot of sense.
I hated it. Didn't want to watch it. And The Simpsons, I was really torn about. I feel like I had a similar conscience experience that I couldn't. It was like I couldn't enjoy it. And when something was so hilarious that I actually laughed, I felt awful. Like I just, I was like, that's just little pieces of my soul becoming depraved again, you know?
Yeah. And then like, I don't know if you ever experienced, just like, I don't feel bad. And I feel bad about not feeling bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's we can get worse. Really meta with our guilt if we need to, because the problem is if you don't feel it, then you have to manufacture it one way or another. So you can go to the and altar and be absolved on Sunday.
Yeah. That's probably
and
like
then why. And still hate yourself forever. But yeah.
It's like, but that was like so crazy. I'm just like, that was never like a thing to note. It's like, oh, I don't feel bad. Why is that? Shouldn't I feel bad? Mm-hmm. But then like we were taught, I was like, oh, this, you know, you're so far from God. You can't even tell what's good and evil anymore.
Yes,
that's what I told myself. That. And so like I was, ooh.
It's kind of
like regulating our own media after that point really became, I don't know, it was like an easy job. Like our parents were just able to kind of go, I think I've put enough fear in you that.
Yeah. I think the thing that also complicated it for me, and so I originally came out to my parents in high school when I was like 14, didn't go well. And my mom she said, we're going to beat this. And I got put into ex-gay therapy, like Exodus International, like the heyday.
Wow.
And
Exodus itself. Damn.
Right. And so I was really sold out around things. And there was really a big push around making sure that you never set yourself up in a way that that temptation could even be a thing. Mm. And so it was everything from like the music that you listened to, the books you read, the people you hung out with. So, you know, and it was like, so for me, it was like very double down on a lot of stuff around like 14, 15, 16 was like, I really became a pious little bitch.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it was safer for you.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they wanted us to be. We got like not spanked for that usually.
Yeah. And then I just became so fucking boring, you know, like everyone at school is like doing normal things. And I'm just like, hey, you got to go to Bible study. I was in the theater department. I was the only one who didn't go to the after parties.
Aww.
That sucks.
And I was the lead. I was the lead.
You would have been carried around that party on everyone else's shoulders. And alas,
you would have gotten so wasted.
And I would have probably kissed Robbie Magnuson on the mouth. Really?
Robbie missed out. Poor Robbie. Sorry, Rob.
If you're listening, Robbie, which I know you're not, but if you're out there.
Hey, miracles happen. That's what I've heard.
Sometimes miracles Robbies are ghosties too.
Once in a while.
Yeah. Famously, all right, Sarai. I was not allowed to watch The Simpsons, but then one fateful night, I was at my cousin's house. I do not remember whether we were being supervised by any adults, but it seems like not. And somehow she and I were in the living room and we turned on The Simpsons because my cousin didn't give a fuck. This is my cousin Micah, who really loyal listeners will remember from our transparenting episode last year. And we sat there and watched an episode of The Simpsons and I thought it was so funny. And then all of a sudden I heard some laughter coming from behind us. And it was my dad and my mom, and they were laughing so much. And I was like, I'm so busted, but what is happening? And then we watched The Simpsons as a family from that day forward. For a long time, it was just like 1990. Whoa. I was like 10 or 11.
Yeah, this story blows my mind.
And we all just watched The Simpsons together. It's like my love language is 90s Simpsons references because that's what my family had together, and like Mystery Science Theater 3000. Those are the main things that made an Isaacson an Isaacson at the time, you know? Simpsons.
Sometimes miracles happen. That's like the Holy Ghost intervened.
Oh, the Holy Ghost knew I needed to have Ned Flanders as an object of ridicule. I needed it. And it helped me. It really gave me life.
What did your mom do about Ned? Sarai's mom is still a Christian, was a very strong Christian.
So there was this guy at our church who sold Fuller brushes as his quote unquote job.
Fuller brush man.
It's like an MLM, but they sell cleaning products.
Okay.
And he would come to our house. He was lanky, tall, very nerdy. And we just secretly like referred to him as Ned Flanders in behind his back. I mean, my family, I'm not going to say.
I love that.
Like a part of our family was that sort of David Letterman rules the world. And we all think he's really funny, even though he's just like mean a lot. And mm-hmm. we adopted a similar attitude toward what was funny and kind of just talk shit about people, but like in a way that made us all laugh a lot. It was fun. I mean, we'd leave church and just go on and on about whatever, and it was a good time. So yeah, my family was like didn't totally match in a lot of ways, but The Simpsons, I mean, I really think it was funny because everyone was having such a hard, like, sorry, having a cow about the existence of Bart Simpson and like he was such a miscreant and whatever, and it was just so harmless.
And they never really they didn't want to get on with Lisa, who like turns out like she's like a feminist icon.
Yes, right. She is a feminist icon, and I also deeply identified with her. She would say
very
things like
independent woman.
Grade me, I'm ever so smart. And I was like, I know, I feel that too. Like I really like grades.
Oh man. I mean, I'm halfway between Homer and Bart. I think I'm a Homer son, Bart rising, Lisa Moon.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
You know? Yep.
I'm a triple Lisa. That's how I am.
I'm a Marge. I'm a Marge son.
A Marge is nice. Let's be real. Yeah. My mom is very Marge. My dad liked to emulate Homer Simpson. He gave us life advice that Homer Simpson would say, like, never try. And so that was pretty cool.
Related to Ned Flanders, I'll send this video to you after, but there is this male pole dancer that I love. He's a go-go dancer, but one year he dressed up as a sexy Ned Flanders for Halloween.
That's awesome.
Full body paint yellow. Gorgeous. But also like he used makeup to like really carve out all of his abs, and I'm like, yes. Why am I
very into Ned?
Watchers of The Simpsons will know that secretly Ned Flanders was ripped and super hot, and you just didn't know under his sweater. Yeah, he was.
So I'm looking for Ned Flanders, honestly.
Yeah, you know what? Your Marge needs a Ned.
For me, The Simpsons was like always a bad, you know, even when I was watching it and laughing. But it wasn't until my husband was like, I think I'm ready to introduce our kid to The Simpsons, that I had this other like feeling of like, oh no, it's depraved. It's going to, you know, like harm him. And so my kid's an atheist. Like he's never been to church. He's very self-determined.
Wow. What's that like? You know,
he's 14, right? I love it.
That is crazy cool. That.
Yeah.
God.
He's very thoughtful about it. It's not just out of some, you know, oh, I heard my mom doesn't like church anymore. He's had his own interesting experiences with Christians. And when I heard him, just like the deep laughter, just like the belly laughs and the just like letting everything go and being able to experience joy, I think it was during the pandemic when it happened. And so all of those fears just kind of instantly melt away when you realize like this isn't harmful. Like these are characters. He looks at Homer and is like, don't be like that. This is not a person to emulate. He also looks at Bart and was just like, yeah, kids don't have rights. Like, what the hell? Like, that's so unfair. You know, why do you have to just do everything parents say? Yeah. And Bart was a little rebellious, but like, good for him, you know, good for him. And I think it's time for us to watch something. So Ghosties, we're going to watch this live with Kevin. This is going to be a surprise episode to Sarai and I. Kevin has chosen something that he was not allowed to watch.
I also Googled most popular episode of this show, and this is the one that came up. So if you don't like my choice, this is because of Google.
Thanks a lot, internet.
Yeah, I mean, thanks a lot.
This is season 4, episode 12.
Yay. De-de-de-de-de. This is a really good one. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
All right, y'all. I feel like it's Marge versus the monorail.
I'm excited. The reason I learned what a major seventh was because of The Simpsons. Whoa! So silly.
Right? Oh my God, it was whoa, guys. You feel a little bit eviler?
I feel...
corrupted?
Yeah, that was just so cute and fun. There were so layers to it. Because really it was a commentary on the way that corporations just poison the environment.
Yes.
And how we appropriate funds within our community, which is why it's really important that you vote in your local elections.
Gee, how timely. Kevin, bringing it home with the real message. Yes. The Simpsons were always telling us to go vote.
Yeah.
Well, this was in 1993 that this episode first aired. Like, I forget just how long they've been making a social impact, because that's really what this show has and does do, is it shows different versions of American life and the corruption and the ways that the government, the rich people, the police just all have this, they live on in a different world than we do.
I like the plaque in the courthouse with liberty and justice for most. Most is an overstatement, but still.
Yeah. I was like, when the only brown character in the show said I've been shot 8 times and it's nearly stopped me from getting to work. I'm just like, that's tea.
Yeah.
That's real tea.
True, true. Like, and he does work at the Quickie Mart. So it's also commentary on how dangerous it is to work in a convenience store.
Y'all, you didn't know you were coming. You come for the jokes and stay for the social commentary.
It's amazing. It's really great. Incisive, to be honest.
I'm going to get my doctorate on this. Good. Like, the Simpsons as social commentary.
They have been predicting the future for years. Like, that has been one of the most amazing things. I would love to go down a rabbit hole and see all of the things. Somebody out there has done it. Please send it to me. What has The Simpsons predicted? What kind of social commentary have they been discussing from way, way back in the early 90s, 80s, actually, late 80s? Matt Groening, okay.
Yeah. Y'all were there.
Tracy Ullman, Conan O'Brien, the EP on this particular episode, which, you know, hat tip Conan. This episode is now old enough to drink. But it's still just as relevant today as it was in 1993. Also, town charters, looking at what actually is written in them for real and the stuff that we have redlined out of them is fascinating.
Yeah.
I think
laws that are still on the books that we don't really know, but that are still like things that people can be prosecuted for. Like,
the Constitution hasn't really been updated.
No.
Since the Bill of Rights. What was the last amendment? Was the Voting Rights Act, right?
I don't even know.
I think that was the last time that the Constitution was amended.
That's probably true, because we didn't get ERA. We still don't have equal rights for people of all genders. So, you know, it's so cute. Yeah. Oregon's Constitution is full of racism and basically dominionism. It was founded as a whites only white haven state. So I was taught, like, we never had slavery in Oregon, but that was because it wasn't legal to be black while being here. So that's also kind of there. Wild. It's just legacy. Like, well, we don't really mean it anymore.
It's like, hey, listen, we're not going to make you work for no money anymore, but also you got to go fuck off somewhere else. Like, that's kind of rude.
Go to California. Anywhere.
Well, if you were somebody who didn't get to watch The Simpsons because they were so, so evil, let this be my strange encouragement to you to go and watch some episodes. Maybe see what you were missing out on. the kind of subject matters and personal dilemmas and conversations that these different characters have and who they each represent, you know, different parts of ourselves. Like mm-hmm. we're all the Marge sometimes, we're all the Bart, we're all the Lisa, we're all the Homer. And, you know, we're certainly all the baby. Like
certainly.
So certainly. Maybe you're the twin sisters. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
But embrace it.
Yeah, get in there and like figure out who your big three is, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. That's
right. Your big three in the Simpsons cosmology.
Before we head out for the day, big shout out to the Simpsons crew, all of the talented voice actors, Simpsons. The writers, the people that created such an iconic show that we were, some of us, not allowed to watch. But I want to know, what are the most amazing things in this same era of life? What was the best thing that you sneak watched?
Okay, honestly, so like this was like very budding and I only watched one episode. It was at my friend Ashley's house. Mm-hmm. Her mom spelled her name Ashyle and her name was Ashley. And I'm just like,
interesting.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Anyways, but she and I, she's like, have you ever heard of Queer as Folk? Because like I was like, you know, this budding queer kid. And I watched the first episode of Queer as Folk and it was so sexy, hot, and cool, and I also felt so bad about it. But it was like – that was like my first introduction to like anything gay.
Yeah.
Was
yeah.
sneakily watching it on her parents' computer.
Wow. The computer even. Yeah, that's like the ultimate.
Man, excellence. The computer did really change the world, didn't it? Look at us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's cool.
But yeah, I watched that in – I think like freshman year of high school, like – she was one of my very first friends, so this was like early aughts.
Wow. I love it. That's cool.
Sarai, what about you? What did you sneak watch?
I just don't really feel like I had to sneak watch that much stuff, but
lucky.
I know. Because I sneak watched The Simpsons and it turned into the thing that my family still to this day is comforted by. And like the main way we relate to each other.
Our point of reference and comedy that we can all find common ground on.
Yeah. It's also what taught me like all cultural references because they do so much of that like
yep.
I know about a million things that I've never actually seen or that I saw after it was mentioned on The Simpsons. and that is really amazing to me because that I think that actually gave me a lexicon of American culture and just like pop culture that I would never have access like that. It's weirdly educational while being self-referential. Yes. So I'm going to say that's the best thing just to follow the theme of this episode that I ever sneak watched because it did change the trajectory of my life and my family's life. You know, not to overstate it, but I do... I find
but The Simpsons kind of changed my fucking life. So
it did, you know, and also I just in a vulnerable and like sad thing, I just lost my youngest brother. And so part of why I was just talking about the monorail episode is related to that and us all being together about that. But yeah, so it's actually sweet to me.
I'm really, really sometimes mysterious things happen and I'm really, that makes me so happy.
Yeah, thanks for bringing the monorail episode. It's a really good one.
Yeah. I did it because I did my research. It wasn't Google's suggestion at all.
Google did a good job. Google was right. It's a really good one. Yeah. Plus, it features Phil Hartman, so RIP, American Treasure, as Lyle Lanley. And he's probably one of the funniest people who ever lived. Yeah.
My God.
How about you, Meg?
Would you sneak?
Oh, let's see, middle school era. I think anything was a sneak, honestly. Like Saved by the Bell was a sneak.
I was Saved by the fucking Bell.
Just so obsessed with their diversity in their cast. Like I had just not, I grew up in such a whitewashed culture that like, I just thought like, there's just all these beautiful people and they don't all look like the kids at my church or my Christian school. And I don't know why. Probably the like Zach Morris,
God,
like not
damn.
Caring about anyone. The bad attitude he always had against authority, and doing his school assignments. I think the women on that show, honestly, Jesse and Lisa in particular, mm-hmm. Kelly, sure. Just strong women who had opinions, shared them, did not back down. That was also just something I'd never seen before. So I did mm-hmm. get a little bit obsessed. I always wanted to see like what they were up to. Not what Zach Morris was up to. I did not give a fuck. But gosh, those women, those female
Lisa
characters,
Turtle really
I think,
was
changed
the one,
me.
Honestly.
Yes.
Fashion queen. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Delightful. A true delight. Plus, we got true those delight. Mario Lopez dimples, you know? Like, that's pretty
Oh, that man not? Is a – he has an age. No, he has age. Like, fine fucking wine.
I know. She is. He's being
something
adorable all the time.
Magical.
Thank you, it's, Mario listen, Lopez.
Oh, God. Yeah. Lord, if it be thy will. For me. Doesn't have to be Mario Lopez, but I'll take somebody who looks just like him.
That would be fine. That's enough. Just a doppelganger.
Oh. Also, you know what else was the devil? Yoga. You know what else was
so
the devil?
So much.
Being yeah. gay.
Being gay. Turns out. Yoga. Anything fun and interesting and good for you.
Voting Democrat.
Can't do that. That's evil.
Yeah.
Jesus was a Republican. We all know. That's why he was always feeding the poor.
Birth control was certainly not like the devil as well. Mm-hmm. Tarot cards. I think parents were like really weird about me watching Hocus Pocus.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anything glorifying witchcraft.
Mm-hmm. My uncle, like, so Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban came out. I got it, read through it in one night. Sunday morning rolls around. My uncle preaches a sermon where he alleges that children, ever since Harry Potter began to gain popularity, have been running away to Mexico to go to wizard school. And I wanted to know, where's the bus stop? Where's the bus stop that these kids are getting?
How do I get to wizard school?
In Mexico. In Mexico. And I'm just like, this is also early internet. So I'm just like, you totally found this somewhere. And there's
like before Snopes was a thing.
I love that so much. I love that story more than I can ever say. That's amazing.
A couple years later, we went and saw Chamber of Secrets in theaters. And I'm like, what'd you think about that? I was like, oh, I thought it was a good film.
He's like, I want to hop a bus to Mexico and learn more. One of my favorite Christian anomalies these days is Bethel Church and their Christian Hogwarts School of
Bethel
Supernatural
School of
Ministries.
Oh, I could go on for days about BSSM.
I could too.
Thank you so much, Kevin, for joining us today. I'm excited for this series. I'm excited to see what other things you're getting into. Reminder, Kevin is at the Kevin Garcia.
Yeah.
You can go see him on all social channels. And please go follow him on TikTok. It's one of my favorite places to mm-hmm. be and to see what you are doing to brighten the world. And also to just be real. I love that you have kind of made it acceptable, made it okay for us to be vulnerable, for us to share the stuff that is tough and to ask for help when we need it. It's a really important thing that I think a lot of us did not learn to do as little church kids. And you just being vulnerable and showing up all the time, just whoever you are, whatever state you're in, whatever emotion you're going through, it really does matter. It matters for people who were just like us growing up to see that, you know, yes, it gets better, but we still struggle. We're still working. We're still on this path of self-discovery and re-emerging from the boxes that we were all smashed into as kids.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for saying that. That means a lot. And I receive it. That feels very nice to hear.
God.
But also go buy my book for real. It's really good.
Yes.
Do it.
And I'm supposed to say, I'm also speaking at the Q Christian Fellowship Conference in Atlanta, Georgia in January. And I'm also going to be at Content Warning, which is also in Atlanta February. So, you know, if you're around and you want to hang out IRL, that's where I'll be, in the city where I live. Yes. The only way that I'm going to these things is because it's in my city.
Nothing happens in Eugene, so we're never anywhere, but you know.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But for real, thank you both for having me on the show. Big fan. Like, you're so funny and delightful to be around, and the content's just good. So it's fun to be a part of it. Thank you for having me. What a treat.
Yes.
Anytime, bro.
Thanks, Kevin Garcia, for joining us today. If you want to find out more about what Kevin is up to, you can also go to his website, thekevingarcia.com. Kevin is a spiritual director and mystical theologian. His books are Bad Theology Kills and What Makes You Bloom. You can find them anywhere books are sold, and we really encourage you to go check out what he's doing. And if you're in the Atlanta area, go see Kevin live in person. He's a delight, and I know you'll have an amazing time. If you want to connect with us in between shows, we're online at holyghosting.com. You can find us on TikTok at holyghosting and on Instagram and Facebook. You can join our members-only groups at holyghostingpod. Thanks so much, ghosties. We're happy you're here, and we'll see you next time.
Amazing. Perfectly executed.
You're awesome. I'm sorry I called you bro. That was a weird thing for me to do.
Oh, it's okay. Listen, just, you know, call me sis next time you see me. Bounce it out.
Got you,
sis. Now also, ever since I've watched this episode, though, I'm just like, oh my God, I'll be Marge Simpson for Halloween. Fuck it.
That's such yes. a good costume. Yep.
Oh my God. Wait, I could also be Ned Flanders.
You could be. Oh, you're going to have to go to
Narge
parties.
Narge. No, I'll probably be Marge Simpson.
Yeah, you could do half and half.
I mean, the hair is really a valuable asset. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, wait, a bearded Marge Simpson? Because I don't yes. I don't ever, like, when I do drag, I never shave my beard.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. I love that.
Can you do a Marge? You could paint it like blue. A glitter beard for Marge. She would look really hot that way, I think.
A yes. really cunty
do a drag Marge.
Yeah,
outfit.
Like a blue glitter beard.
Oh my God. Okay. We got work to do.
We got work to do. Please take pics. Start getting your costume ready. Yeah. I want to see it.
It's going to be good.
I'm so sorry I'm late. I was just talking to my sister about protecting abortion rights.
Wait, didn't we already do that in Ohio? We passed issue 1 last year.
I know, by a wide margin, too. But now it's up to our state Supreme Court to decide whether they enforce it or ignore it.
Ignore it? Will they really do that?
They will if we don't keep extremists out of the court. But we can protect our rights by electing Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that. Listen, I can barely remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Here's a trick. All you have to do is remember, don't stop fighting.
Don't stop fighting. Oh, I get it. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, Forbes. I love that.
Tell everyone you know, if you supported issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue, a community of women who care about reproductive rights as much as you do.